The first Soccer Nomad podcast of 2016 was an amazing conversation with some of the guys from the Atlanta Manchester United Supporters Club. We sat down after the match and talked about the formation of the group as well as their big weekend in February. We had some technical difficulties, so the audio quality isn't crystal clear, but I just want to reiterate the highlights of that weekend. It's February 5th, 6th, and 7th. February 5th is the dinner with Norman Whiteside at Fidel Midtown. February 6th is the premiere of Dennis Violet, A United Man. You can find out more at dennisviolettdocumentary.com. And February 7th is the Manchester United Chelsea game at 11 o'clock, and we'll be watching at Fidel Midtown. Check out the website dennisviolettdocumentary.com for more details on the movie, and check out ATLMUFC for more details about what Atlanta Manchester United Supporters Club is doing in Atlanta. The guy shares some great stories about Dennis Violet and Norm Whiteside, and I encourage you to listen to the podcast to learn more about the Red Devils. Again, thanks for listening. So today's Soccer Nomad podcast is very special. I'm joined by the Atlanta Manchester United Supporters Group. We are going to talk about the formation of the group, and then they have a big weekend plan in February, so we're going to dive into that. So I guess, first of all, Steve, why don't we open up with sort of how the group formed and what a typical match day looks like.
First of all, thanks for this. This is great. It's great to be here. Well, it started off really last year, but the thoughts around it have been bubbling on for a few years, really, because in our group of friends, yeah, we're all football fans. Some of my closest friends are Liverpool fans, and a couple of my mates have started the Liverpool supporters group. And we've been talking for a while about a United group,
right?
And one of the things that really came out was to do some sort of like a home and away thing, where we get a group of Liverpool fans who could be in the pub with some United fans, a group of United fans who could be in the pub with Liverpool fans, and it sort of started from there, really. And that's when I met Barry. And we thought about it, thought it'd be a good idea, and it just, Barry, just went from there, really, didn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So, basically, we, like Steve said, we're all football fans. We like watching football together in a pub. We didn't have a home. We looked at the Liverpool lads, saw how successful they were, and said we want that as well. We searched around for pubs. We went down to the brewhouse, we saw there was something going on there, but we wanted our own official home. We wanted like another place that we could come, put up our banners. Luckily, we reached out to Fidel. They were loving it. They've been accommodating so far, it's gone great. And we're trying to mirror what the Liverpool lads have, and so we're flying. And as Steve said, we're trying to build, not even just to get bigger, but we're going to bring in ex-players, legends, get them down here. We're giving off great rapper gifts. The likes of Tony, Tony's been in the city for a long time. Martin Harris, another guy's been in the city a long time. They've never had a home. And now it's great getting all these guys together, all great fans together, just to watch the game together.
So let's unpack some of that. So you guys meet at Fidel Midtown.
Yeah.
Right? You know, right in the middle of downtown, it's a great location, great bar. Talk about the raffle. I mean, today you guys raffle off Paul Scholes' autographed booth, but talk about some of the other stuff. They raffle off and what made it on the horizon, sort of how all that works.
Yeah, so you've got plenty of options where to watch the football, and it used to be hard a long time, you know, a few years ago, it used to be pretty hard, really. When was the game going to be available? What channel was it going to be available? It's pretty tough. Now it's so easy to watch the game at home. So we wanted to not only create a good place to watch the football match, but we wanted to create a place that was good for friends to come, build new friends, and we wanted to make the whole event fun. So we thought we would do a weekly raffle, and yeah, today we did the Paul Scholes booth, but every week it's usually something good, a Wayne Rooney jersey, a Scholes jersey. We've got a super raffle coming up with the signed Ronaldo shirt. It's a little bit of fun, really, and it also raises funds for the club. We're a self-funded organisation, and we need the money because, you know, we're bringing over, as Barry said, we're bringing players over. So it's coming up quick now, a month. February the 6th, we're going to be hosting Norman Whiteside, who's coming over from Manchester. He's an ex-United player. He's a legend, basically. And, you know, it's not cheap to bring somebody over and pay an appearance fee and everything else that goes along with it. So the fans using the raffle process is actually funding that for us.
And talk about being sort of the benefits of being associated with One United USA and then Atlanta, Manchester United. How's that work, and what is your membership fee get you, and sort of that sort of thing?
Right. So we think the One United USA component is really important. Those guys, you know, Peter Holland and Dave Berman do so much for all the fans across the United States. They do tours in the UK. When the team came here for the US tour, I mean, they're the guys who are helping organize a lot of things. And we think it's important to give them as much support as they give us. So we do have a membership, but 100% of the membership fee goes to One United. But you don't join Atlanta, you join One United.
Okay.
And it just helps really to support all the supporters in the US.
So to speak on that point, so as part of the supporters of Atlanta, what we do is they get a 20% discount info if you're a One United supporter. So you get double Rafa tickets. So there are benefits to do it, and obviously the One United benefits as well.
So let's get the social media out of the way. Facebook, Twitter, where can people find you guys?
Everything is ATLMUFC. The Instagram, the Twitter, and Facebook, ATLMUFC.
Let's jump into the big weekend in February. I'm going to give a brief outline and then sort of let you guys go. So Friday night is a dinner with Norman Whiteside.
It is.
And then Saturday is the Atlanta premiere of Dennis Violet, a United man.
Yes.
Right. And then Sunday is United versus Chelsea here at Pideaux, and Norman Whiteside is going to be here.
That's it.
So that's the framework of the weekend that we're working from. It's, you know, when you guys start putting this together, that was pretty amazing. I started researching, and like Norman Whiteside, like we talked before, like Norman Whiteside, I knew the name, 1982 World Cup. 17-year-old scores for Northern Ireland. That was like the one sentence that I knew about Norman Whiteside until I started getting ready for you guys. Like Dennis Violet, I vaguely knew the name. I got my little Manchester United book here, but I didn't really know anything about it. And I started reading about him. And these two players are legends, as you said. So Tony's been sitting here patiently. Tony, why don't you jump in and talk about both players real quick?
Privileged to talk about two guys that played for United, both that wore the number 10 shirt. And there is a lot of similarities between Norman Whiteside and Dennis Violet, which a lot of people probably don't realise, but the pair of them are homegrown players. Dennis, obviously, from Manchester, and Norman from Belfast, but they came through the youth system. And it'd be difficult to actually say, really, who was better than the other one. Norman got an injury, and he had some bad advice going back to Belfast and having some heavy-duty physiotherapy on his knee. And I'm sure Norman will tell you about this one, but he lost a little bit of pace. And I think if you had a criticism of Norman Whiteside, he wasn't as quick as some centre forwards, but if he had been, I think we would be talking about Norman as a world great. George Best would sit in the stands and watch Norman and be very, very impressed. I saw Norman Whiteside play for the youth team many times, and he was a colossus. He was a very big man, huge, huge legs, strong. Nobody defended well against him. And he made Mark Hughes look small. Mark Hughes had massive legs. But Norman just made him look huge. Like, Norman was huge.
Right. That's why I came across in my reading. Is like at 16, 17, he was a man among boys.
When we went to the cup final in 85, we all sang Nine Men and Norman because Kevin Moran got sent off.
Right.
So we had nine men on the field and we had Norman. And he was nicknamed Storming Norman. So to watch Norman Whiteside play in the youth team and then see him play winning the FA Cup in 85, scoring in 83 in the Cup Final, scoring in the Charity Shield, scoring in the League Cup Final, breaking records everywhere, even breaking Pelé's record. Incredible. But, you know, that's what Man United is. It's every day it's a new story, a new historical moment. So, obviously, Norman Whiteside, can't say more about him, wasn't a great goal scorer, but he was a scorer of great goals. When Norman Whiteside hit the back of the net, you actually see the nets ripple. The goal against Nottingham Forest, I remember, we were late getting in the ground because of traffic. Got in the ground, we were losing, and Norman hit the ball from the edge of the box, and I've never seen a ball hit a goal so hard. A friend of mine who went to the 57 and the 58 Cup Final was next to me at Wembley, and he said, "I've never felt so close to the players as when Norman Whiteside came running over to the fans and saluted his last-minute goal at Wembley against Neville Southall, probably the best goalkeeper in the world at the time." And he curled the ball round, if I remember Ratcliffe, might be wrong, but one of the greatest moments as a United fan. And my mate who's watched the Busby Babes, he said, "Never felt closer to the club than when Norman scored that goal." And I think if you're a United fan, it's more special when a local boy scores a goal, or a youth team player.
No, I'd like to chime in on just echo the sentiment on Norman. And, you know, I was born a Manchester United fan. I'm 40 years old. Most of my strongest memories of United are really in the 80s, and most notably was Norman's goal against Everton in 1985, and just the opportunity to have Norman come to Atlanta and not only meet him in person in America, but also spend a whole weekend with him, have a meal with him, have a good chit chat, a bit of Q&A. You know, thanks for Steve for managing to set up this opportunity. So we're all very, very excited to have Norman here. I think Steve may touch in a second on a little bit of detail about how that weekend's going to unfold.
So you mentioned we have the dinner. We have a private dinner on the Friday night. We're limiting that to 32 people. And we're doing that just because we want to make it really special and really intimate. And we've only got 8 places left on that, actually. So if anybody's interested in going, they need to move quickly on that. So we've got a chap called Thomas Clare who's coming over. And Tom, he's coming from Houston, and Tom is one of the most interesting people you could possibly meet, especially when it comes to the history of Manchester United. I can't remember how many books he's written. It's 5 or 6 or 7, but he's a historian. I mean, to call him an author, a writer, is a bit of an understatement. He's a true historian. And in fact, we mentioned George Best. When George Best played, I think almost like his first game with a United shirt on.
Youth team game, yeah.
His first youth team game. He played against Preston North End.
Correct.
And Tom Clare was in goal,
mm-hmm. Yes.
For Preston North End, yes, when Georgie played against him that night. And it's great to get Tom's perspective on this, right? Because he was the one standing there on this cold, rainy winter's night, looking at this little Irish lad, you know, like just like running around. And Tom shares a story going like, "This guy's special," right? Because George Best was quite small, particularly when
more fat on a chip.
Yeah, that's right. He's quite small. So Tom has got literally thousands of Manchester United stories, and he's our MC for the evening, going to be handling everything. So we're really excited about that.
As for Dennis Violet, well, 1959-60 season, he scored 32 league goals. But when I was a kid, I used to go to Old Trafford, and I used to love the statistics, the history of Manchester United. And every week we'd go to Old Trafford. We weren't playing very well. We weren't a good team, really. And that record stood, 59-60 season, Dennis Violet, 32 league goals. Georgie Best broke it with 30 league goals, but we waited forever. I think we waited till 1988 for Brian McClair to score 30 league goals. It wasn't a thing that Man United did. We didn't score lots and lots of goals. And then Dennis was sold to Stoke City.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was we had Dennis Law. And Dennis Law was incredible, big signing. And Matt Busby made a decision that he was going to sell Dennis Violet. If you look at the club, Dennis Violet was always there scoring loads and loads of goals. Scored threes and four goals in games. And I think Dennis Violet is a legend, to say the least. I spoke to him on the telephone one time, sent him a picture of the of him in a portrait, he signed it, sent it back to me. It's the only time I really spoke to him. But, you know, I think the fact that the movie premiere is in Atlanta is incredibly massive. It's a world premiere, and Norman's there, the new Man United Sports Club's there.
It's the anniversary of Munich.
It really is, for the younger people who don't quite understand, it was a phenomenal occasion and a privilege that we're all in Atlanta. So, very special.
So let's talk about the movie just real quick. The website is DennisViolet.com. There's a trailer which is super interesting, really got me hooked. I'm interested to learn more about him. But anyway, $20, 12:30. All the details are there. But when you watch the documentary and you do a little bit of reading, what I learned, besides the 32 goals, you know, which is pretty amazing, you know, he's a European top scorer one year in the European Champions Cup.
He was also the youngest player to ever come through the youth team and play for Manchester United.
Okay.
So he's broken a lot of records, Dennis Violet, and, you know, Busby obviously believed in him at a very young age.
But what you learn is after his career, he actually comes to America and starts coaching, which I found really interesting. Did NASL. I mean, he coached in like all, there was no MLS, so he coached in like all the divisions, ASL, NASL, the A-League, he coached in college. There's a part two of the story, which I think the movies, I think, is going to be, you know, just reading about him, I think it would really be an interesting story about not only a great player, but someone who, at, you know, as an American, helped bring the game here and help it flourish.
Then, like I say, we've got the screening the next day. It's going to be at the Midtown Cinema, and tickets are online for that. And then we've got the match against Chelsea on the Sunday. We'll be watching it here at Fidel Midtown, and we'll be doing a Q&A session after that. And you mentioned the raffles before. Well, not only have we got some raffles lined up, but we've got some auction prizes lined up for that, some really special stuff. So, for example, we've got a retro 1985 shirt from the FA Cup final, signed by Norman, and also the captain of that team at the time, Brian Robson. Along with some other stuff. So it just set out to be just a really special weekend.
If anybody wants to really think about the presence of Norman Whiteside, he actually broke Duncan Edwards' record as being the youngest player to play for United. And the guy is a legend, and bringing him over to Atlanta is very, very special.
At the national team, at the national level, he broke records as well with the World, in the World Cup.
Absolutely. And for me, it's a very proud moment that he's coming.
So for any American United fans that want to learn, just being around other fans like Tony, Steve, Ian, it's a great way to learn things. And so, if you know anyone's come down, not even just that weekend, but every weekend, we go for a couple of beers after the games. We have a chat, reminisce, talk about old games.
Well, it makes me smile a little bit because there's a lot of chat right now about Louis van Gaal in, Louis van Gaal out, which, you know, I'm not going to get into. I'm not even going to share an opinion on that. But most of us who've been supporting this club for a long time, I started supporting them when I was a kid. It was the back end of Tommy Docherty's reign. And it moved into Dave Sexton, and it moved into Ron Atkinson. I remember being demoted into the second division. And I got to tell you, nobody will be complaining about Louis van Gaal if you sort of live through the back end of Tommy Docherty, Dave Sexton, actually Dave Sexton and Ron Atkinson.
And Ron Atkinson.
We won hardly anything, right? And, you know, here we are, most of the fans today, younger fans, all they've known is Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, I think if you think about it, if you're 40 years old or 35 years old, the vast majority of your Manchester United supporting life would have been under
Sir Alex Ferguson. Right. It's a one-off. It doesn't happen. It's a black swan. So I think anybody wants to get in touch a bit more in reality of the history of the club, I think we'll learn a lot from this weekend.
Absolutely.
I totally agree. So I am that person. That's why this is. That's why this conversation is so great. We were talking before, like, you know, all I've known is Sir Alex. All I've known is success. And so when David Moyes took over and we were going in the crapper, I had to recalibrate. Like, I didn't have a frame of reference for losing to Spurs at home and Newcastle at home.
So what do we go? 26 years?
26 years.
Yeah. Whatever.
We won the league in 67. And it was painful to watch. The club didn't really spend any money. So Georgie Best, who was a little bit younger than Charlton and Dennis Law, was really playing on his own. He was playing with people that had no right to wear the shirt on horrible muddy pitches. If the money had been available in the early 70s, we'd have bought some players to complement George Best. We would have won things. But the management at the time, the owners of the football club, just didn't spend any money. So we saw a lot of really disappointing footballers playing for Manchester United. Whereas today, we take it for granted that we can always buy big-name players and spend the money. But we never spent any money in the early 70s. And that's why we didn't win anything. But we went years. I went to the cup final in 1976. I was 15 years old, and we played Southampton, and we were so much favourites to win the game. We just took it for granted we were going to win the game. We were sensational. The semi-final against Derby was unbelievable. Gordon Hill scored two goals, and we turned up. We lost to an offside goal in the 87th minute, and we lost the FA Cup against Southampton, a team lower than us in the league. And that was probably the lowest point, I would say, following United, other than the relegation season. And they were the times that we were facing. But we went back in 77 and we beat Liverpool 2-1, stopped them winning the treble. Tommy Docherty said, we'll be back, and we were back, and we won the FA Cup. And then it was magical to see my team win a trophy. Because between 1967 and 1977, we won one trophy, and it was the five-a-side tournament at Wembley.
So people who listen to the podcast for a while, my story is my friend says there's this team called Manchester United. Do you know anything about them? And I was like, no. And he's like, you got to see them. And, you know, and that was Schmeichel and Kanchelskis. And I saw Kanchelskis. I was like, I love that guy. And then, you know, Cantona, I was like, holy shit, who is this guy? And for me, 1996, Cantona's goal against the Olympic final, that sold me. I was all in after that. It's just, but yeah, but when you research, like, yeah, 70s and 80s, I mean, like, that's why the FA Cup victory, they were a cup team, as I understand it. You know, the league form not very good, but then they just could somehow summon themselves in the cup finals, and it's just, and then that's why 1993 was so special. I mean, 26 years for the story to come. It's just, that's why I love talking to you guys, because I mean, there's this whole history that I only get to read about.
I brought the magazine over from England, Manchester United Monthly. I was the distributor, and I would sell it to W.H. Smith's and Oxford Books down on Piedmont Road at the time. Harvard, university there, I would sell a magazine, and I would bring in about 200 magazines of Man United and other teams as well, and I paid for them up front, and they were still there on the shelves the following week, so I'd have to bring them all back again and be stuck with a lot of magazines. But that at the time was the beginnings of Eric Cantona. And nobody really knew who he was in America. And when I first came over to the States in 92, I didn't know how to watch Manchester United. I was living up in Woodstock in the mountains. Mm-hmm. There was no Reds up there. And I didn't know how to watch United. And I went into the grocery store, and there was a magazine called Satellite Weekly. I picked it up, and inside it said Manchester United versus Norwich, live. And I thought, how do I do that? Well, the answer was, I had to go out and buy a 7-foot satellite dish. which I was in a homeowners association. I was married at the time, and I put this 7-foot satellite dish in my back garden, and I saw Man United v Norwich. So I was watching games in '92. We got to the FA Cup semi-final that year. It would be beat Oldham in the last minute. Didn't get any picture, only got sound for that one. But I was watching the game, and the Homeowners Association took me to court and said that for every day that I keep the dish up, it would be $1,000 fine. So my decision was to buy a boulder, like a rock, and hide the satellite dish inside a rock. And they told me I had to remove the rock because they knew I had it. So I then bought a patio umbrella, which was the size of the satellite dish, and they said that they saw it moving in the middle of the night. So I had to remove my satellite dish. The point I'm trying to make here is that that's how difficult it was to watch United in the early 90s.
Yep.
I was watching it at home with my Labrador, and to be able to go and watch it with a group of lads, same interests, is so much different than those times. I remember going in the Rose and Crown one time, and they didn't have United v City on, which was a big week game. But they said if we had a whip round, they would actually pay for it. So we all paid $30, it was about 10 of us, and we got United v City in the Rose and Crown, and Kaczelski scored a hat-trick. But that's, it was really only FA Cup finals that you could rely upon. And, those early days at the Rose and Crown were touch and go. You weren't guaranteed you'd see all of the football, but I think it's brilliant that we've come so far, and for those who's supported us and given us this opportunity.
As you stated earlier, spread the word. Everyone's welcome to come down here anytime. It's a great experience, especially this weekend coming up. Steve touched on earlier, the home and away. We're going to be going down to Meehan's downtown for Liverpool away. So we've got a big group of guys going down there. It's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, because you guys watched the Chelsea game at their place.
At Reroy, yeah, last week. We had Liverpool here. They brought about 100 guys with their flags. They had a drone.
That was pretty sick.
So we want to match that.
But also, I don't think we should just be considered as an Atlanta supporters club. I think everybody's welcome. If you live in Chattanooga, or you live in Helen, Georgia, or you live even in the south towards Florida, this is your fan club. And I think that you should come to the bar and support the supporters club. I've very cheekily tried to invite Rory McIlroy a couple of times, but anybody's welcome. And if you come to the bar and you're famous, nobody's going to bother you. If you're going to watch the famous United, don't waste your time in the Hilton Hotel watching it on your own. Come down to, for those in Midtown, and watch the famous Man United.
There you go.
Well, again, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. Just real quick, DennisViolet.com, and then for the Atlanta Manchester United Supporters Group, it's ATLMUFC on everything. So look them up. Get down here. Get down to Fidel Midtown for a game. Join us the weekend. It's just the 5th, 6th, and 7th. So 5th is Darren Norm Whiteside. 6th is a Dennis Violet movie. And then 7th will be the Chelsea game against Manchester United. Again, I just want to thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Soccer Nomad podcast. Let me know what you think by commenting on the Podomatic page or giving the show a review and rating on iTunes. And help me spread the word by sharing this podcast with a fellow soccer fan. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974, and please visit my blog, soccernomad.wordpress.com, for posts on kits, memories, and more. Thanks again.